You're listening to Let's Talk Macro,
brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Macro, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company, your host as always on the podcast of Macroeconomics by Bandhan Mutual Fund, where we discuss interesting global and domestic macroeconomic topics and events. But I'm not the host that gives you all of the information you need. That would be Srijith Balasubramanian, economist in the Fixed Income Fund Management team, here with us as always. Hi, Srijith. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Hi, Ali. I'm good. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Same here. Pleasure is all mine. I get to pick your brain on some burning questions that everybody, you know, who is a fan of macroeconomics or interested in the subject has to ask you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think 2025 has been the gift that keeps on giving in terms of, you know, keeping us on our toes, constant surprises. Every day you wake up to a new headline that changes things forever, right? And since our previous episode, US policy announcements on import tariffs have been garnering all of that attention. The 2nd of April, the day that reciprocal import tariffs were first announced, was pegged the Liberation Day by the US President, Mr. Donald Trump. But we've had multiple changes in policies since then, and so global financial markets have been very volatile as well. So today we're going to discuss the impact we've witnessed so far of these policies, particularly on the US markets, what this means for the US dollar and therefore emerging markets, and whether the uncertainty caused is having a bigger impact than what meets the eye. So Srijith, let's start off. Could you give us a bit of context on the policies and events that have transpired since the beginning of April? There's so much to keep a track of.
Sure. So before April, the US imposed 20% tariff on China, 25% tariff on steel and aluminum imports, 25% on auto, and tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, but those were later deferred. On the 2nd of April, the US announced flat 10% tariff on all countries, even on those with which it had a trade surplus. Reciprocal import tariff rates with various countries were also announced. Now, these were supposed to counter both explicit tariffs and non-tariff barriers other countries were apparently imposing on the US. However, the underlying equation used to calculate these rates didn't seem very robust. It suggested that elimination of US bilateral trade deficit with every country is probably a desirable outcome. Now, this is not really realistic, as trade balances depend on comparative advantage among countries, stage of development of a country, and so on. Now, some of the calculated rates were also quite high. Subsequently, all reciprocal import tariff were anyways paused for 90 days, and exemptions were granted on semiconductor and electronic related imports. But China retaliated really strongly, and as of now has imposed 125% tariffs. It banned export of certain rare earth minerals to the US and also blacklisted some US companies. US in turn has imposed the 145% tariffs and slightly higher on certain items, and restricted sale of certain NVIDIA chips to China. So a lot of back and forth on tariff policies, but the US-China escalation remains as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, it's no wonder that the markets are volatile given the volatility of policy itself, right? Can we get a little bit more specific now, Srijith, about the US markets, particularly treasury bonds and currency? How have all of these changes impacted those two aspects?
From March end, if you see, so two-year treasury bond yields have eased by around, you know, 10 to 11 basis points. But the 10-year US bond yields, treasury yields, have increased by more than 20 basis points. If you look at the 10-year, 2-year treasury yield spread, that has widened by more than 30 basis points. At the same time, the US dollar is actually weakened. Now, this is unusual because US treasury yields and the US dollar are typically positively correlated. And one would have expected a stronger dollar in, you know, in a such a risk-off situation. Now, the 2-year yield eased likely because of expectation of more rate cuts by the Fed. But the increase in the 10-year yield and weaker dollar was likely due to, you know, various factors. So one, there was likely a change in global asset allocation, where credibility of US policy and assets are reassessed and diversification from US assets is sort of sought. Two, the US exceptionalism story based long US dollar trades has been strongly overweight in the last few years, and we've spoken about this before. Three, like we just discussed, US policy has been volatile and, you know, sort of lacking a bit of rigor, with tariffs raising the risk of stagflation. And importantly, there is also the possibility of US fiscal policy to deteriorate further. So the extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is being debated, and this could entail even higher borrowing and interest rates. And for the Fed's support for growth may be weaker this time, given the recent pandemic-driven high inflation experience, already high price levels, the fact that current inflation is still above the 2% target, with the pass-through from tariffs adding to this, and the likelihood of the Fed facing tension between its the dual growth and inflation mandates. So the response to weaker growths through rate cuts and extended balance sheet measures by the Fed could be lower than what we have seen in the years after the 2008 crisis. So all these are the fundamental factors, but in the near term, if you see higher margin calls and unwinding of the leveraged so-called basis trades by hedge funds also compounded the problem in the treasury market. Now, there has also been news around US Fed independence being challenged, but that is low probability for now. Selling of US treasuries by other countries' central banks has also not been material, at least in terms of data. Nevertheless, the overall situation has been unusual, with longer-term treasury yields rising and the US dollar weakening.
All right, so a global risk-off situation, but then a weaker US dollar, which is quite an interesting trajectory, I guess. Do you think that the US dollar weakness has more legs? Like, are we witnessing de-dollarization by any chance at this point, Srijit?
So a structural de-dollarization refers to the US dollar's reserve and global transaction currency status eroding materially. Now, that's a much slower and longer-term aspect. But what we are currently talking about is the weakness in the US dollar, whether that is almost done or whether it could run a bit longer. Foreign investors have been overweight US geographically, US equities by asset class, and US dollar versus other currencies. The dollar's divergence from its fair value had risen, and it is still quite overvalued on a real basis. Now, there is also the uncertainty around US fiscal policy on tariffs, tax cut extension, and debt ceiling. US growth and corporate profit outlook have also been broadly slashed. So the recent US policy episode caused other safe haven currencies like the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc to strengthen. German bond yields have eased. So if the current USD weakness continues, it will ease currency worries and financial conditions of emerging markets like India. For the US, though, it is not so straightforward, because although the dollar has weakened, which sort of eases the financial conditions a bit, treasury yields have risen and stock markets have fallen. So that sort of tightens financial conditions.
Yeah, I mean, a weaker US dollar after a really long period of US exceptionalism driven dollar strength, which we have, of course, talked about on the previous episodes. So there's not much to do except for wait and watch to see if this continues for more time. Now, you spoke about the recent US policies and their impacts on the US markets and the US dollar, Srijit. But what about the impact on growth and inflation? Isn't that going to be material to the conversations we have going forward as well?
Definitely. So the impact on inflation will depend on the final import tariff rates on countries and products, where it sort of settles after the back and forth. How much of it is borne by the exporter and importer? How much of that impacts the final products if, parts are getting imported and that is getting tariffed? And how much of all this is passed through to the final consumer? Now, it will also depend on whether importers are able to find alternate sources, the quality adjusted price of that and so on. The growth impact of all the policies and their back and forth will also be important, because that will determine the offset for higher inflation from weaker growth. So the IMF just downgraded its US and global growth forecast for this year. We know policy-induced financial market volatility and economic uncertainty have risen. A lot of the survey-based consumer and business data in the US have also fallen. So consumer sentiment, income and wage growth expectations have eased, while inflation expectations have risen. Business investment intentions have moderated given the considerable uncertainty on tariffs by geography and sector. For investments, as we all know, consistency of regulation, credibility of institutions, and a robust dispute resolution mechanism, and all of that sort of matter. So the US fiscal policies and the considerable uncertainty around it right now creates the potential for a stagflation-like economic environment, where growth is expected to fall and inflation is expected to rise. And this could sort of more than offset any benefit the US could get from higher tariffs
Yeah, I mean, lower growth, higher inflation in the US driven by the new administration's policies and the uncertainty around them, you know, all of that seems to be the likely outcome. Uncertainty winning over Liberation for now. So I don't know how accurate Liberation Day was. So we've swiftly come to the end of this episode. So let me take a minute to just summarize the key takeaways. One, the US has announced various import tariff policies since March. While the policy rationale itself is debatable, there has already been a lot of change through pauses, exemptions, and escalations. Two, this has created an unusual situation where the US longer-term treasury yield has risen, but the US dollar itself has weakened. We elaborated on the fundamental and technical aspects which drove this, but the question is whether US dollar weakness has more legs. There are factors which suggest so, and if it does, should ease financial conditions for emerging markets like India. And finally, the impact of all of these policies is likely inflationary, especially in the near term, but the policies and the uncertainty caused is likely weaker private consumption and business investment. Simply put, this just means weaker growth. So on net, drawbacks outweigh the benefits as things stand. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Srijit, for taking us through that. I think everyone needed that concise download of everything that's happened in the last month. April really has seemed like the longest month of 2025 so far.
Thank you, Alia.
All right. Hope everyone listening found this discussion useful. We will, of course, be back with another episode of Let's Talk Macro next month. Until then, bye-bye.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.